Lesson 6 is Baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I originally put these together, I knew that sometimes somebody would get one copy, like, let's say, spiritual gifts, and they would need to know about Baptism of the Holy Spirit, so I put it in there. And I knew some people might just get a hold of the basic foundations, and so I wanted it to be in there. So it's the same material in Lesson 6 on Baptism of the Holy Spirit, so we've already covered that. And so now we're going to look at tithing. I've never been ashamed to preach on tithing.
Amen.
It's biblical. I know some pastors have a difficulty because they feel like, well, the people are going to say, no, I don't think anything that people are going to think I'm thinking is, I'm preaching the Word of God. You got to live with the Word of God. I got to live with the Word of God. And I'll tell you what. Tithing has been in my life since I first got saved. They just said, Dick Benjamin had a little booklet which they handed to me when I first got saved. Should I tithe or rob God? That was the title. Well, the title would make you pay your tithe. But it explained tithing. And then I put this particular lesson together when somebody had some questions. And there are a lot of weird ideas about tithing. Tithing means this, tithing means that. And so I went through every scripture on tithing and laid it out. I have tithed, and God has taken me through times where I have no idea how we did it. When I'm just sharing testimony before we get into this. When I had a Service Master franchise, I got laid off from American Steel, got into a business that my wife said, no, you shouldn't. And I learned another lesson there, too. When your wife says, I don't feel good about this, you better pay attention and weigh it out. But for 8 months, I had this Service Master franchise, and it was during the recession. I was working, if I would have worked 40 hours a week, I think I would have made $1.99 an hour. I was working 80 hours a week. With that same amount of money. So now it just got split in half, a buck an hour. And I was supposed to be making payments on the promissory note on the equipment. And I was just busting it to try and make a go. We tithed. I don't know how we bought groceries. I don't know how we did anything, but we did. And then it was messing up my life, just so you understand what happened with the business. It was a Christian man that signed me up to the promissory note for the, it was a used equipment, and I had the Alliance franchise. And so I told him, I said, look, you know how I've been working. I said, this is killing me, killing my family, killing my spiritual life. I said, but I signed the promissory note. I am obligated to you. I am asking you for mercy, if you would release me from that note. If not, I will continue to work and do this thing, because I signed that note. And he said, I will release you from it. And so I turned all the equipment back to him, but it ate me alive. I should have listened to my wife and prayed about it, but I have no clue how we met all our needs. We had a baby. Had a house, We needed gas. We needed food. We needed to pay electric bill. I don't know how it happened, but we tithed. And God has always brought us through. Always. Another thing about tithing is he also helps you to realize what gifts you might have in funny ways. Right after I got out of business, now I don't have a job at all. I'm looking for work, and our vacuum cleaner dies. At this point, I don't really know that I have any mechanical skills. I mean, I touched on some stuff as a teenager. I'm looking at this vacuum cleaner, and it says, "Don't open unless you're an authorized." I looked at it and said, "Well, you know what? They got to open it." Took it apart. Went all the way down, found out there's a bearing in there. So I went down to Groves and said, "Hey, do you have a spare?" "No, we don't sell that stuff to you, but there's a guy on Homeworth Road that we buy those little parts off of." Gave me his address. $7.50. Put it together. We had a vacuum. And I learned, you know what? When it says, "Don't go in there," that doesn't mean me. And out of that, I learned some skills on fixing things that are now part of my life at my work. But I believe it's because we were faithful in all things, that God was faithful to teach me, to help me in our time of need, to make it reasonable and cheap. And there have been times in Colorado I was in my van praying because I didn't want to have them hear me in the house crying. "God, I don't have any money. I'm broke. I'm destitute." I was living with Pastor Abernathy and his family. And it was like, I can't buy anything. I had that much. Mail vehicle pulls up. I get done praying. I go out and get the mail, bring it in the house. Letter for me. $10 check. Well, I just asked for it. God knew. Time and time again, He is faithful to do His part if we're faithful to do ours. And the biggest thing is, I've got it in here, I'm going to mention it ahead of time, in Chronicles, it says, David says, "Everything that we've got here, it's yours anyhow. And we're only giving you back what's yours." If you can capture that heart, you will never have a problem with your finances. You won't hoard them. I have absolute confidence in God taking care of us financially. I can grow in that area. But there's other areas that I don't have that same confidence, same as I do in finance. I just know. If I do what I'm supposed to, I can trust Him to take care of me. Tithing, before the law, Genesis 14. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons, take the goods to yourself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that's yours. Lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich,' save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. But Abraham paid to Melchizedek tithes of all. In Hebrews 7, this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. And the word tithes means tenth. That's what it means, tenth. First being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, abides a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And surely they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it's witness that he lives. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Levi was not born yet. He was in the loins of Abraham. And so this is saying, even though he's in the loins of Abraham, by Abraham paying tithes, it's the same as Levi paying tithes to Melchizedek. And this will play a part in grasping a hold that we do tithe today, because I cover all the bases. Some people think, well, tithing was for Old Testament. We're not under the law. We don't do it anymore. This tithing took place before the law. Before Levi, who was the lineage that dealt with the law and all that stuff, he paid tithes to Melchizedek through Abraham. So we're going to see how this plays out a little bit later. So Abraham gave one-tenth. Levi paid tithes to Abraham. It was given willingly, in honor, in respect, and relationally. The lesser was blessing the greater. So should we, as Abraham did, pay tithes to a new priest after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus? Just something to think on for as we go through here. Genesis 28:20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, now he's on his journey, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you. He says he's going to surely give a tenth of his increase. And we'll clarify what that means in practical terms at the end of this, kind of taking a look at some practical situations, because people have questions. So we'll get to that. But who does the tithe belong to? Belongs to the Lord. Say, well, yeah, but you're paying it to men. But it belongs to the Lord. It's his. Because it's meeting the needs of his ministers to do his work, to keep his stuff functioning. And here's Malachi 3, verse 8 through 10. I love this. Will a man rob God? Stick him up, God. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'm not sure how that blessing comes out. Some people claim you give $100, you'll get $1,000 back. I don't buy that. All I know is he will bless you. I believe he will meet your needs. I believe as we go through here, you'll see that you take care of God. And he just naturally just takes care of you, because if you shovel out what God shovels into you, he's got a bigger shovel than you do. He does. You say, man, I'm trying to get rid of this stuff. I'll tell you what. You don't think you have much sometimes. I'm telling you to be challenged to look at setting up, being able to give not only your tithes, not only offerings to the church, but looking at, there's people that have needs. Okay, let's start setting aside $5 a month. Just put it into thing when we see a need, and look at increasing that as God increases you. Whatever it is you start off with. But learn to have a giving heart. Because God honors that. Because what we have is his anyhow. And if we're looking at saying, well, you know, I want to build some bigger barns and bigger storehouses, and there's some stories in the scriptures about guys that had that thought. I'm not saying you can't build a business, build that stuff, but keep an eye out for making sure you have a giving heart to minister to the needs of others. In fact, for the rich people in New Testament, it says, charge them that are rich. Hey, could you charge this on your card? No, charge them that are rich, that they use their finances to minister to the people of God, to those that have need, so that they build a sure foundation for themselves. Why does God give wealth? If you have wealth, why do you have it? Because God has a plan for you. And because you're able to deal with it and handle it, because not everybody does. Some of us, policy of take from the rich, give to the poor, I think it's going to end up this way. If you had everybody was given $1 million, 2 months from now, those who were wealthy before would have their million and more, and those who didn't know how to handle their finances would be broke. That's the way it works. And so some of the things I just look at, I shake my head, because if we deal with it God's way, he increases you individually as you are found faithful with the things that he gives you. And I find the best way to do is shovel it back into his kingdom. Shovel it back. You'll find him taking care of you. By not paying their tithes, Israel was robbing God, not just the Levites who would have received it. It was a whole nation that was messing up. Here in Leviticus 27:30, it says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Is there any question on who's the tithe is? It's his. It is holy to the Lord. If a man will at all redeem anything out of his tithes, he'll add 20% to it. You know what? I've done that. I've borrowed out of my tithe that was set aside. Guess what? He gets 20% back with it. He gets interest if I borrow off his tithe. Makes you not want to borrow off your tithe. Because it's going to cost you more. But he was just trying to show them how holy it was to him, that it was set aside for him. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock or whatever passes under rod, the tenth shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not search whether it's good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he changes it at all, both it and the change shall be holy. Say, oh, let's see, I'm going to take this one out and put another one in. He says, okay, now they're both mine. It doesn't sound like he played around with that. That's why they were robbing God by not giving that tithe to him. Robbing him. And having to pay 1/5 or 20% above the value of the tithe if you messed around with it. I took those things seriously. Like I said, if I borrowed, I was like, oh man, shouldn't have taken that money from there. Should have taken it from anywhere else. And so we learned, first check, tithe, it's written out, it's done. We'll worry about the rest later. But it comes off the top, which we will cover. That's all we have time for today. And so we'll take a break here, and Kirk's going to